Well, you know, first of all, I want to say I really enjoyed the special singing today. And I've been sitting over here. I've been humbled. I've been excited. I've got all kinds of things going on in my heart. I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm glad the reality of our music today is in my heart. I didn't just listen with my ears, though I enjoyed it. My ears enjoyed it. But I listened with my heart. And my heart is rejoicing that I not only know the words to those songs, I know the truth of those songs. And I trust that you do as well. Isn't it a wonderful thing that Christ our Savior will hold us fast? We're going to heaven, brethren. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. We who were saved are going to heaven. And I'm thankful for that truth. You have your Bible in Acts chapter 2. The last few weeks I've asked that this passage of Scripture be read because I wanted us to get a glimpse, just an overall glimpse of the early church. Because I feel that when the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches, he's writing with that church in mind. Like this is God's ideal for the local church. And so as we look at Acts chapter 2, there's just two things I'd like to bring to your attention out of this. The word continued in verse number 42, continuing in verse number 46. We see that the early church was a continuing church. They just kept moving. They didn't stall out. They just kept moving toward God's purpose, God's mission. And so I pray that God would help us to do the same. I understand that we go through lulls and we go through times of setback, but I pray that God would give us the wherewithal and the power of His Holy Spirit to keep continuing in the things that the early church continued in. And then as they continued together. They made sure that they were together. You'll read that word together and all the people and how that they were in one accord. They were in unity. They were together. And so I believe that what we're going to be talking about and have talked about the previous couple of weeks, and we'll wrap up today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, would you turn there, has to do with that unity and that togetherness. In other words, what's it like to have a healthy church? Now, I'm not in any way saying that we don't want our church to grow numerically. It has grown, and I pray it will continue to grow, and we're doing Sunday school campaign. We have other things in mind. Brother Allen and I are slated to go Monday and speak with Greene County about some possibilities with the youth association there, how we as a church can minister at the youth events there in Greene County. We'd like to do that. I've been in contact with Graham Davison, who is running for the school board. And if I lived in Madison, he would get my vote. And I trust if you do, you'll get out and vote for the school board. It's very important. And so I've been talking with him about the possibility of us being a part of the high school there and some of the events there as far as getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And that is our goal, is to get the gospel out. Now, when the Apostle Paul, here in chapter number 5, he begins to wind down the letter. And we've talked about three responsibilities that he mentions. He mentions in verses number 12, 13, he mentions the responsibility that the shepherd has to the sheep. I trust you wrote that down. It's very important for you to understand what the responsibility of your shepherd or shepherds are. Your pastor, and in our group, we have a pastor, we have three assistant pastors, we have a pastoral staff, we have responsibilities to you. Always know what the responsibility of your leadership is. Amen. Yeah, know what to expect of them, and know how to appreciate when they fulfill what is expected. And so the Scripture teaches that. It said in verse number 12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord." And so appreciate them. Know that they're not just over you. They are among you. They're part of the church. They need ministry too. And they need God to work in their lives. And they need God to refine and to bring change in their life just like you do. And so we need that. And so he said, not only among you as brethren, but, and this is where it gets a little difficult, they're over you. And sometimes when as pastors, and I'm a personable person, I'm not one of these kind of people that's going to pastor you from a distance. I just don't think that's God's way. I will not only be your pastor, I'll be your friend if you let me. And I'm serious when I say that. And some people are afraid of that. They say, well, you know, you mess up when you become the friends of your people. Well, Abraham was the friend of God. I don't think that done him too much harm. Amen. And Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus is my friend, but he's also my Savior. And so the fact that he's my friend hasn't in any way caused me to disrespect him as my Savior. And so I believe that we can honor those that are among us and are over us. And so that's the first responsibility that we find here. The second responsibility is the shepherd, not only the shepherd to the sheep, but the sheep to the shepherd. Now you have a responsibility to the shepherd. Just like the shepherds have responsibility to you, you have responsibility to us. And so he mentions that here. He said you are to esteem them in verse number 13. Very highly, in love, for the work's sake. And he said, be at peace among yourselves. He said, when you have this shepherd and sheep thing figured out biblically, you'll be at peace among yourselves. You'll be at peace. And so he said, be at peace among yourselves. So understand the responsibility of the shepherd to the sheep. Understand the responsibility of the sheep to the shepherd. But then he said, understand the responsibility in verse number 14 to the sheep, to the sheep. He said, understand that there's a responsibility that you have among one another. We're a body. We're a family. We're called a church family. And we have responsibilities. Now, I want to make mention of this, and then I want to get into something that God's laid on my heart for this week. If you'll remember back in chapter number 3, there's two things the Apostle Paul said that he was praying for. In verse number 10, he said in chapter 3, verse 10, he said, I'm praying that your faith would be perfected. Now, if there's something that's going to have a church to be healthy, it's going to take great faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we need great faith if we're going to be a healthy church. And then he said, not only is it going to take great faith to be a healthy church, but in verse number 12, he said, I'm also praying that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And then he eventually said, and toward all men. And so, and then he mentioned in the latter part of that chapter 3 and verse number 13, he said, you need not only faith, you need love, but you need hope. He said, to the end, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's three virtues, if you will, that I believe will make a healthy church. Strong faith, abounding love, and a patient hope, looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may God establish that in this church. It was visible in the first church. And I pray that God would just grow that here. We have it here, but we have in no way obtained. We have in no way reached the peak. We have a ways to go. Amen. Yes, as a group. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, I believe that one of the ways that we do that is we show love toward the sinner. And we have faith that God's word still saves old sinners. Amen. And we get that out through the Great Commission, through soul winning effort, through mission endeavor. We do that. But there's more. It takes more than just numerical growth. There must be growth from the inside. And that's where we pick up in verse number 14. He said, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. He said, you know, sometimes in the church people just get out of step. And you say, well, yeah, I've got some on my mind right now. Is your name in that category? Because we all do from time to time. In this time, listen, we're never going to be much help to others until we, first of all, find help for ourselves. We're not going to help meet the needs of others until we ask God to help meet the needs that we have. Amen. And so when we think of those that need help, I want you to think of it this way, two ways. First of all, I could be in either category. I could be the one doing the warning, or I could be the one that's being warned. I could be the unruly. The second thing you mentioned, we talked about that in previous weeks, comfort the feeble-minded. I could be the one doing the comforting, or I could be the one that's feeble-minded, which means short-sighted, right? Faint-hearted, small-souled, that one that's that's always needing inspiring and lifting up, that one that's filled with doubts and that's always ready to quit, you know. And I said, just go alongside of them. Now, both of these are personal. You don't warn people from a distance. When you study these words, you find out what God is saying is, brethren, I'm exhorting you, go to that person. Go to them. Let them know you care about them. Right? Go to them. If you need to, if it's a man and you're a man, put your arm around them and tell them, brother, I love you. What can I do to help you? If it's a lady and a lady, listen, you just need to let people know, I want to help you be the best Christian you can be, and you help me be the best Christian I can be. Let's encourage one another. Let's edify one another. Let's build one another up. As a matter of fact, he used that in his closing, and we'll get to it eventually. He said, I want you to be able to edify. Look at verse number 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. In other words, work together. Bring comfort one to another. Bring encouragement one to another. Look at the rest of verse number 11. And edify one another, even also as you do. Build each other up. That's what that word means. Build each other up. You say, well, I don't feel like building anyone up. Well, then let somebody build you up. Amen. Let someone build you up. Because if you don't feel like building someone up, you probably need building up yourself. Because as Christians, we just have it in us. Listen, God lives in me. Amen. God lives in you. And God wants to build people up. God wants to bring change in people's lives. God wants to bring the very best out in people. And if I'm a godly Christian, that's what I want too. If you're a godly Christian, that's what you desire too. Amen. And so he said, I want you to warn the unruly. I want you to comfort the feeble-minded, those that are short-souled. But then he said this. He said, I want you to support the weak. He said, now, I could be on either side of this. He said, I want you to support the weak. You could be on either side of this. Now, I want to start by saying this. I want you to go back just for a moment. I want you to go back to Romans chapter number 14. And we're going to talk a little bit about weak and strong Christians. Supporting the weak. Supporting the weak. Helping people that need to grow. Helping people that need to mature. Helping people that need to move forward in their faith. Supporting them. Now, I want you to notice that all three of these words, warning, comforting, supporting, they're words where we get close to people. You can't support somebody from a distance. You got to get, let them lean on you. Amen. I mean, you do. And he's saying you got to get up close and personal with them. You don't need to talk to someone else about it. Yeah, I've noticed those so-and-so's growing weak. Go to them and tell them, you can lean on me. You can tell me. Let me help you. And if someone comes to me, I don't need to turn them away. You don't need to turn them away if they come to you. This is how a church stays healthy. So, well, preacher, I don't have any needs. Well, I doubt that now. You may not have any needs that you want to admit or that you have identified, but we all have needs. Amen. Every one of us. And so as a church body, as a family, we help one another. We help one another. Now, as we do it, it's very important that we remember a couple of things. Number one, you're in Romans 13. I said 14. We'll get there in just a moment. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible says that the love of God, now please listen to me, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so if I want to help somebody, I need to do it in the spirit of love. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not the fruits of the Spirit are. It's love. That's where it begins. Now the other fruit, I believe, will be produced when we begin with love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things will come. But it has to be done in love. If I am going to minister in a way to people that's going to be beneficial to them and glorifying to God, I must do it in the spirit of love. And so here in chapter 13 of Romans, verse number 8 says this, owe no man anything but to love one another, and he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so as I minister to people, as I carry out these things that the apostle mentions, I need to warn people, but I need to do it in love. And people that are warned, if I am warned, I need to receive that in love. If I'm going to comfort someone, I need to comfort them in love. If the feeble-minded, if the short-souled are going to be comforted, then they need to receive that in love. And then if I'm going to support the weak, if I'm going to support, I need to do it in love, not frustration, not duty alone. And if I'm being supported, I don't need to take offense to that. I need to love. I need to thank God. I need to receive that in love, that someone cares enough to help me in my weakness. Amen, church? Amen. And so the scripture says this. Now, why do you think this is so? Let me ask this. Why do you think this is so? See, we're all saved. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're saved. But just because we're saved and have that in common doesn't mean that we all think alike. We came from different backgrounds. We came from different upbringings. We're in different places in our lives. And so it's just going to take us being patient with one another. It's just going to take us caring about one another. It's just going to take us doing what Paul... Listen, can I tell you the Bible's always right? I know you know that. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. The Bible is always right. And when the Apostle Paul said there's just times you've got to warn somebody, he's also saying there's just times you've got to be warned. You're out of step. You're unruly. You're a little disorderly. You're marching to your own beat. You need to get in line. You're a body now. You're not single. You're part of a group. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we all think the same. As a matter of fact, that God has never in His Word spoke that we are to be in uniformity, which means we're all to be the same. I'm glad we're not, aren't you? But we are to be in unity. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, I believe it begins with love. I really do. And I believe that as we do these things, God will grow strength in the church. And the church will be healthy. Notice what He said in verse number 9. The reason that we need these things is because of the differences that we have. And if we're not careful, we'll become almost intolerable of one another. I'll show you that here in just a moment. I mean like in a bad way, in a real bad way. To where Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia that they would be biting and devouring one another. You say, well, I'm not ready to bite anybody, preacher. Well, now, maybe not physically. But if you're not careful, you might say some biting things that could really bring more pain than a physical bite could bring. You say some things you shouldn't say about someone. Instead of going to them in love and trying to help them, you tell it to someone else and it doesn't help them, it hinders and hurts them. And we all have decisions to make when it comes to these kinds of things. Because inevitably, all of us are going to take offense to something that someone says, or we're not going to appreciate maybe an action toward us or a word toward us. And so we have decisions to make on how we're going to handle each other as a body, as a local assembly. And the Apostle Paul said, let me tell you how to do this God's way. Don't be afraid to warn someone who's out of step. And don't be afraid to receive warning from someone in love. Don't be afraid to comfort someone who is short-souled, faint-hearted. And don't be afraid to be comforted. Don't be afraid to support the weak. And don't be afraid to be supported when you are weak. He said this in verse number 9. Are you there? Romans 13, verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so what is the Apostle Paul saying? He's getting ready now to get into chapter 14 and chapter number 15. And he's saying, as a family, you need to love one another. And you need to understand you're different. Now, this goes at your family at home, and it goes to your family in your church home. Amen. They're sibling rivalries, for sure. And we're brothers and sisters. I remember when I first went to a church here in the community, when my family and I moved here, I was calling everybody brother and sister, and they were saying, well, what's this brother and sister thing? I said, well, we're Christians. We have the same Heavenly Father. If you're a Christian, amen. Amen. We're brothers and sisters. If you're saved, we're brothers and sisters. We have the same Father. And we need to take care of one another. And we need to have each other's back. Amen, church? Do you always get along with your brother? How many of you always got along with your brother? Raise your hand. Okay. Three people. I'm going to have to call that into question. I didn't say got along with them. I said always. How many of you always got along with your sister? Raise your hand. Not even those. Oh, we got one person. I got along with, I didn't get along with any of them. Not all the time. And you're not going to get along with me all the time. And I'm not going to get along with you all the time. And you're not going to get along with each other all the time. That's just the way it works. And if you expect any different than that, well, I've got some sad news for you. It's just not so. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be, listen, disagreement. Now what? Well, the Apostle Paul said this. He said down in chapter number 14, verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. He said, you know, those weak folks that need to be supported, those weak folks that maybe they're struggling. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say to you. I don't have time to get into every detail of chapter 14 and 15, but what chapter 14 and 15 is dealing with is in the Christian faith, the things that we're going to disagree on, 9 out of 10 times, is not the essentials. Now, please listen to what I'm saying. It's what the Apostle Paul's dealing with. He's not dealing in these chapters with the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He's not dealing in these chapters that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that He came and He lived a perfect life, and that He died and was buried and He rose again from the grave. He is not dealing in these chapters that you are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. He is not dealing with that. As a matter of fact, there's two words I want you to write down and look at as we go through them. There's diet and there's days. He's dealing with the diet and the days. And he's saying, you know, there's sometimes that there's things that, well, they're just not essential. Can I tell you the virgin birth of Jesus is essential? Amen. The sinless life of Christ is essential. That's right. Now, I don't have to be mean to somebody, but I can't find a grounds of fellowship with somebody that denies that Jesus is the Son of God without sin, and that He died for sin, and that He was buried, and that He rose again from the grave. However, that's not what the Apostle Paul's dealing with. He is not dealing with that. He's dealing with things that, well, that's kind of our opinion, or it's kind of a preference that we maybe have a position on. And so he said, you know, there's some people that just, when it comes to these things, they're just kind of weak in their faith. He said that they're weak because, look at verse number 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another is weak. Well, he just eateth herbs. In other words, there are those that would say, well, you know what, I'm going to eat meat because it's been offered to those idols. And you have to know a little bit something about 1 Corinthians and some of the scripture context here. And again, I don't have the time to go into it, but I want you to know that there were some who were brought up in paganism, and they would offer up to their false gods these offerings of this meat, and then they would sell it or it would be sold. And what Paul was saying here is there's some people say, well, I can't eat that. I can't do that. Well, wouldn't that be wrong? I mean, that's been offered to an idol. And he says, so when it comes to diet, look at verse number 3. He said, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So if you're one of those, say, well, I just can't do that. I just can't go to a place that sells alcohol and eat on the other side of the place. I can't do that. Well, then don't you do that. But don't you despise those that do? Is that what he said? Look at it again in verse number 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Or, I guess to make this our example proper, if you do go to those places, right? If you do go, you eat. You don't have a problem eating where they sell alcohol. But there's one that does. Then you say, well, you know what? I despise that. Well, don't despise it. Who's he think he is? No, don't do that. If his conscience won't allow him to do that, if their conscience won't allow them to do that, so be it. Amen. We're not talking about the fundamentals of the faith. We're not talking about essentials. These are non-essentials. Can I tell you, whether you eat a pork chop or not, that's a non-essential. Amen. Well, I don't eat pork.
Well, you know why the Jews didn't eat pork? The dietary law said don't eat pork. We're not under the dietary law. But now if you want to not eat pork, don't eat pork. Amen, church. Now I'm using this as an example because the Apostle Paul did. And we can name some examples. As a matter of fact, he not only mentioned diet, he said in verse number 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. And so there's the one that would go to a restaurant where they sell alcohol, and the ones that wouldn't, they say, I tell you right now, they think they're something. I despise that. And he said, don't do that. And then you got this person who don't go, and they find out someone that did, and they say, well, I tell you right now, they call themselves a Christian, and they go in that place. He said, quit judging that, brother. Is that what's happening here, brethren? And he said, all you're doing is you're fostering strife. And he said, this need not to happen. And then if you'll notice, as he goes on down in this, and I wish I had time to break this down, this verse by verse. I asked you to read it last week. I hope that you did. Look, if you would. Look, if you would, now in verse number 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. And then he gets in verse number 6, and he says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day regardeth it not unto that day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. Watch this now. This is very important. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. See, both of them are doing, they're both doing what they feel is honoring to God. I'm not eating and I'm giving God thanks because I believe that's what God wants me to do. I am eating and I'm giving God thanks because I believe this is what God wants me to do. I'm doing it in a devotional way. I'm doing it because I feel God has given me that liberty. There's an old saying, I can't say this enough. I've said it many times while I've been up here in these 19 plus years, and I want you to get this down. If you've never written this down, today would be the day. When it comes to essentials, brethren, I mean essentials, salvation, by grace, by faith, in Christ, that's an essential. There ought to be unity. We all ought to be on the same page on those things. Amen? There's just some things we all ought to be on the same page on. And then when it comes to non-essentials, there ought to be liberty. That's what Paul's saying here. That's what he's saying. Don't be despising and judging people because they're not like you in every way. And you say, well, I'm not like that. I think we all battle with this to some measure, to some degree. I think we all have a little problem with this. And he's saying, just don't, listen, don't start judging and despising people because they don't do things just like you. You get in trouble that way. Now, if it's a scriptural matter, well, now you got to break out what saith the scriptures. Amen. That's right. But if it's a preference, well, you're messing up. As a matter of fact, notice the way he ends verse number 5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What's God leading you to do? Now, I'm not talking about sin here. I want you to understand that. No, listen, God gives us a conscience. And I've asked God many years ago, and I still ask him from time to time, God, help my conscience to be founded on scriptural truth. I don't want my conscience to be founded on fleshly appetite. I want my conscience to be smitten when I do things that are outside of what I feel is right before my God. Amen? And I believe you do too. But the Apostle Paul said, you be careful now. The question here, here's the lesson. It's not about diet. Though some of them would say, preacher, I think it is for me. Amen. It's not about diet. It's not about days. It's not. You say, well, I don't celebrate Christmas. More power to you. I am. Well, I don't celebrate Easter. More power to you, my friend. You're still my brother. You're still my sister. I'm going to celebrate Easter. I'm going to try to do it not in a way that's pagan, but I'm going to celebrate. That's right. There's days that I do regard. Notice what the scripture says here. Notice what it says here. Verse number 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. So let each other alone. That's what he's saying. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Quit trying to change people. In case it's truth now from the scripture. That's what he's saying. And so when you read down through here, he's saying, you just do what you do as God dictates to you when it comes to these non-essentials. In essentials, what do we say it was? Say it with me, church. Unity. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, what is it? Liberty. In all things, charity. Charity. Love people. Love people. No matter if they're like you or not. No matter if they do things like you or not. You say, well, preacher, I love you, and you're wrong in some areas. Well, I'm glad you love me. And that's just the way we have to approach these things. Again, I'm not talking about clear biblical teachings here, nor is the Bible. When it comes to sin, when it comes to doctrine, this is not what this is talking about. This is talking about opinions, and we all have them. This is talking about preferences, and we all have them. So what are we going to do? Fuss and fight about these things that don't matter while the world dies and goes to hell? What are we going to do? Just have all kinds of division and all kinds of strife in the church so that when people come and they need to hear the power of God, the gospel of Christ, and they need to hear it in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's been grieved so bad by the indifference and the division among the church family that a sinner can't even come to church and feel the power of God because we have petty differences? No, Paul said, no. He said, don't be afraid to warn. Don't be afraid to comfort. Don't be afraid to support. And realize that we're not all going to be on the same page on some things. And he said, as a matter of fact, he said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now turn, if you would, to chapter 15 just for a moment and notice what he said there. He said, to the weak, he said, receive them. And he said to the verse number 1 of chapter 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's kind of like saying, you know, support them. You know, if they don't have that liberty, if they feel so, you know, they just feel like, well, you know what, I don't have that liberty. I'm not going to go to that place because of this or that. Then, okay, support that. Amen. Is that what he's saying? He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Watch this next phrase. Now, this is what really gets us. And not to please ourselves. This is where the real problem comes in. I appreciate where you're at, Darren. I appreciate what you said. We need to be saved from ourselves. And only Jesus can do that now. You have to die to the flesh. And sometimes when people disagree with us, our old flesh puffs up and we want to say, well, now, wait a minute, I'm right here. Well, you know, you might be right for you in that matter, but it may not be right for him. If it's a certain matter, you see. Now, again, I want to make this very clear. I'm not talking about biblical truth here. I'm talking about opinions. Opinions. So he said, if you go on down, he said in verse number 2 of chapter 15, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And then he said, you know, Jesus did that. He pleased not himself in verse number 3. He didn't. He did it. He lived a life to help others. He didn't just please himself. He said, what it all comes down to in verse number 6 of chapter 15, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another. So here it is. This is what makes a healthy church. So I think a healthy church is when you have a lot of visitors. Well, I'm glad we have visitors, and I'm glad we have a lot of them. I'm thankful for those of you who are here today. I am. And that does show, I guess, a measure of help that we're reaching people and we're inviting people. We have concern for people. It's great. Well, I think a healthy church, and you could go right on down, you know, is seen in its giving, or is seen in its talent, or is seen in this, seen in that. But listen, this is the way that you have a healthy church right here. You hold each other accountable. You love one another. You warn one another in love. You comfort one another in love. You support one another in love, he said. Right? Now, let's close with this. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6, and this is where we'll close today. In Galatians chapter 6, it wasn't just at the church at Thessalonica that the Apostle Paul had this mindset. Here in Galatians chapter number 6, this is what he says in verse number 1. You see, what happens is sometimes we all just kind of get to hiccups. And we find ourselves in a place that, well, we know is not a good place for us. It could be a lull. It doesn't have to be out in gross sin. It could be, we talked about it Wednesday night, it could be just lukewarmness. Be just lukewarm. That is not a good place to be in. Sometimes I think it's not a good place to be in a drunken stupor. Well, you're right. But equally, it's not a good place to be in when we're lukewarm. And so the Apostle Paul writing, as we read there in 1 Thessalonians, he said, you know, just minister to one another. Care about one another. Love one another. It ought to mean something to you. Look, if you would, in chapter 6, verse number 1. Now, I realize, I don't know if it's hot in here to me, if it's hot to you. I realize the devil's trying to put some of you to sleep, but listen to me now. Please listen to me. The devil doesn't want you to hear this because you have a responsibility in this. And so I'm going to ask you, if you're about to go to sleep, reach over to the person next to you and say, slap me in the face. But do it in love. Some of you took me serious. Wake up now. Listen to me. The devil doesn't want you to hear this. Because instead of me talking about your actions, sins, this is about your attitude. What is your attitude towards your church family? What is your attitude? You're here today. What is your attitude here today? What can I get out of it, or what can I give to it? And if we're not careful, we'll come to church with what can I get from it today. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But when that's all we're here for, our very first request ought to be, what can I give to God today? I want to give God all the glory. I want to worship God today. What can I give Him today? God, I want to give all of me to all of you. Number two, what can I give to my brother today? What can I give to my church family? How can I help somebody today? How can I help somebody? What can I do to encourage someone? And then number three, now, God, what have you got for me here today? Now I'm ready. Right? Now I'm ready. Are you in Galatians chapter 6? He said, now, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, in a measure, what the Apostle Paul was saying here, in a measure, he said, now, brethren, he said, if there's some that need to be warned, warn them. And if there's some that need to be comforted, comfort them. And if there's some that need to be supported, support them. He's saying if there's some brethren that have been overtaken. Now, this is not talking about someone that's living in habitual sin, that won't listen to instruction, that won't do any kind of way, but has found themselves in an unfamiliar place in their Christian experience. They've been overtaken. It's not something that they just jumped into and said, I'm going to live my life this way. I don't care what the preacher says. Now, this is someone that's found themselves in a way that they didn't think they would find themselves in. And he said, you which are spiritual, I want you to minister to them. Is that what's happening here? Now, here's a question. What's going to make you say that would be me? I'm the spiritual one. Let me go help them. If you're really that spiritual, would you think you're that spiritual? It just happens. God impresses it on your heart. You don't need a vote from the pastor. You don't need a vote from everyone. God will tell you who you need to minister to. God will tell you if you're the spiritual person that He's going to use in this situation. Amen? You see what I'm saying? You see what the Bible's teaching? God will lead us into ministry. And he's saying, you go to that person and you minister to them and you help them. You help them. And you do it in the spirit of meekness. Look at the latter part. You do it in the spirit of meekness. You don't go in superiority and say, you know what? I've been noticing you. You're kind of out of line. You need to get in line, fella. You don't go with that attitude. You do it in the spirit of meekness. You do it in the spirit of love. You do it in the family spirit, realizing, hey, that could be me. He said, you consider thyself because you might be there one day. How quick things can change. And you could be on the other end of the instruction. So, I'll end the message there today. The Apostle Paul was trying to teach us that in order to have a healthy church, we have to understand the shepherd's responsibility to the sheep and the sheep's responsibility to the shepherd. And then the sheep's responsibility to one another. Sometimes that's forgotten. We get so fixated on what the shepherd's responsibility to the sheep is. We sometimes just stop there, but the sheep have responsibility to the shepherd too. And just as importantly, the sheep, we have responsibility to one another. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 closes with the sheep's responsibility to the chief shepherd. And we'll get into that beginning next week. As you stand to your feet, I want to recite something to you that I read this past week that I had to write it down. I thought that is outstanding. It was by John Wesley. Most of you know who John Wesley was. And John Wesley said this. He was writing about the importance of Christians loving one another. And basically what I preached this morning out of Romans, 1 Thessalonians, Galatians, how we ought to help one another and support one another and minister to one another. And he said this, he said, do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. Just do right. Do good by others. You see somebody struggling? Try to help them. You see somebody going in the wrong direction? Try to be a yield sign or a stop sign. You see someone that's having a difficult time finding their way? Invest in them. Let's bow our heads together.